Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Early voting in Charlotte's municipal elections is underway. On the ballot, various races for city council, mayor, school board races, and, of course, the 1% sales tax for transit referendum. Because of how primaries shook out, there remains only one truly competitive race for city council, and that is the one in District 6. The seat is being temporarily held by Republican Edwin Peacock, who was appointed to fill out the remainder of fellow Republican Tarek Bakari's term when he left for a job in the Trump administration. Peacock is running for an at-large seat, so the race in District 6 will be a face-off between Democrat Kimberly Owens, a political newcomer who was on this program last week, and Republican Krista Bakari, Tarek's wife, who was with us today. Krista Bakari is also a newcomer in that she's never held municipal office, though she certainly had a backstage view given her husband's tenure on council. And she also ran unsuccessfully for a North Carolina House seat, which gives her the experience of what it's like to be in the midst of a campaign. As we did last week with her challenger, we spend this hour talking with the Republican candidate for City Council District 6, Krista Bakari. Thank you for being here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Let me start with the same question I ask every candidate for every office that has ever been on this program. And the first question is always, why do you want this job?
Well, you know, I'm a mother of three children, and I feel like our city is going down the wrong path. We are missing transparency. We are misusing our tax dollars. And no matter what the stats say, Charlotte citizens do not feel safe. The crime issues are hitting our backyard. And I'm ready to step up and lead and make sure that this city moves forward in a safe way and so that we can be as successful as possible.
According to your website, your campaign website, you have a background in community leadership. You say that you have been deeply involved in your children's schools, and you say that you bring the real world perspective of a mother raising kids in the city to this race, someone who understands the importance of public safety, responsible growth, and honest government. We're going to talk about all of that as we go through this hour, but what makes this the right time for you personally in your life? Because you could have done this years ago. You've been backstage, gosh knows, for years. Why now?
Well, you know, my children were young. Now I have a 12, 10, and 8-year-old, and they are thriving. They're thriving in school. Originally, when Tarek was leaving the seat, I immediately asked him, well, who is going to run for this seat? This is vitally important to the future of our city. Once this seat goes over to Democrat control, it's very hard to change that back over. I don't know why that is. It seems to be a trend across the country. But I was vitally concerned about that. I do think right now is the time because I have been doing the work. I have been front and center with the HOAs, working side by side with them. I understand the issues of the district. I did just come off of a North Carolina House run where I outperformed every other candidate statewide. That is a huge accomplishment, especially running against someone like Brandon Lofton. He's a well-liked, well-known name. And so I'm really proud of what I was able to accomplish in that run. And I think now is the time. We cannot allow the city to go to one-party rule and continue an echo chamber in City Hall. It is vitally important. The press has been calling for this since 2017. The press has been saying this is a problem in Charlotte, and I'm ready to step up and be a leader.
We live today in a deeply divided nation. Politicians and office holders have always faced scrutiny, but now many of them find themselves in the line of sight. I mean, they're in danger, many of them. Many of them have been attacked. Some have been killed. I know that you've been near the eye of the storm now for years, and Tariq Bakari, your husband, was a controversial figure to some. He certainly was outspoken, which was his job on council. Are you ready to be in the eye of the storm, or is District 6 somehow insulated from some of the more polarizing parts of our public persona?
I mean, no, we are not. I mean, as a public official, I don't think you're ever able to get away from that. I mean, just in this run, I had some really horrible messages sent to me, not only about me, but about my children, which is scary. It's absolutely scary. But, you know, those are the far, you know, fringe people on either side. It happens on both sides of the aisle. Who we can't allow to silence our voices. I think it's so important. We saw what happened with Charlie Kirk. If anything, that lit a fire under people and scared them to say, wow, what is happening in our country now that we can't have a difference of opinion? And so I'm one of those people who is not willing to hide. And I think that the difference of opinion is needed now more than ever. Especially here in Charlotte. We have been through the storm of that. We've had police protection outside of our home. And I am so appreciative of our police department and our officers. But, you know, I'm ready to step up. I'm not going to allow those people who don't represent most of the people in this city to silence me.
I want to let you give you a chance to tell people who you are, Krista Bakari, how your politics, your positions, your style is different from that of your opponent and also that of your husband, who was on city council for a long time and who made his presence known. So how are you different? Who is Krista Bakari?
Well, first, I want to start by saying something. I meant to say it last time. You know, Tariq was loved by many in this community as well. His voice was vitally important to a lot of people in this community. I do feel like he is getting a little beat up here and there in my endorsements. And I don't think he deserved it. I think there are so many things he did that many people don't even know about, because if his name was attached to it, it may not have ended up coming to fruition. So I do want to send some love and put a plug out for my husband to say that he did plenty of good in this community. But how am I different? Well, you know, as we were talking before the program started, this isn't my comfort zone, getting on, you know, a microphone, and it really isn't. My interest is getting to work for the community. I am not going to be one of those people who is going to grab a microphone and give a barn burner speech. It's not me. I have loved working one-on-one with the HOA leaders in HOA meetings. That is where I shine, and I've been proven in that capacity, my job, I feel like, is to get to work. It's not Monday nights and in the meeting where everyone's kind of, you know, it's kind of the show, that's the play, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in that. I am interested in getting to work on the problems between those two Mondays, right? That's where the work happens.
You mentioned how your husband's getting the brunt of the comments in some of the endorsements you've received. And according to the Observer, and this is their opinion, not anybody else's, just theirs, this is your opinion. You have said that Tariq is a fireball who felt like he had to be loud to bring attention to issues he cared about. But that is not who you will be. So how will you push the issues that you feel strongly about? How will you, because you're going to be outnumbered, no matter whether there are two or three Republicans on council, how will you get your imprint into those council meetings and decisions that they make?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm desperately hoping that Edwin Peacock gets on council as well, because we absolutely do need Charlotte deserves a Republican voice in an at-large seat. We need it and we deserve it. So I plan on maybe taking a page out of Mayor Vilile's book. Mayor Vi Lyles has become probably the strongest mayor we have seen in this city for years. And she does that not necessarily working the typical way within council. Sometimes she works around council. And I think working with the business leaders, I have gotten the support of many of the business leaders in Charlotte because they know that I'm ready to get to work for this city and not continue to kick the can down the road. So I'm going to work with the city staff and present a strong case to Marcus Jones for what I'm most passionate about. I do believe that the citizens of Charlotte are speaking loud and clearly right now, and I'm their champion. So we're ready to get
Marcus,
to work.
for people who don't know, Marcus Jones is the city
Oh, yeah.
manager. Over the weekend, you received the endorsement of the Charlotte Observer. Did that
Yes.
surprise you?
It didn't. I mean, the Charlotte Observer, I mean, I was thankful for it. I'm very thankful for it, but they have been calling for more balance on council. They are the one actually that I believe that article from 2017 said that we are doing a disservice to our city by not having a more balanced council. So I was very proud to receive that endorsement. I've worked hard in the community and I believe I've earned it.
Krista Bakari is our guest this hour. She's the Republican candidate in Charlotte City Council District 6 race this morning on Charlotte Talks on WFAE. In that endorsement, the Observer said that your opponent, Kimberly Owens, is, quote, more than capable of being an effective member of council, but we believe, the Observer believes, that having more dissenting voices on council serves the entire city well. And there are only two Republicans on council at the moment, Edwin Peacock in District 6, filling your husband's seat, and Ed Driggs. And Edwin Peacock may be elected at large, and should you be elected, there'll be three Republicans on a majority Democrat council. And you said you know what's at stake when one party has unchecked power. Still, the GOP will be in the minority. This is very much like the Democrats in Congress and the Democrats in the General Assembly. Can you be effective if you disagree with the majority?
Again, I think there are ways to present your case. I do believe that just providing that voice, there are many people in this community who want their voice being heard, and it doesn't necessarily align with the Democrats. So the what's effective is providing that voice, being that voice for that community, and that is unaffiliated and Republicans. There are also some Democrats that don't agree with everything that's happening on council. So I believe being effective doesn't always mean that you're going to get the outcome you want. The voice needs to be represented and deserves to be represented. But I do believe where I can be more effective than my opponent could ever be is my relationships in Raleigh. I really want to bridge that gap and fix those relationships between our council and our state leaders and hopefully unlock some much needed funding for our city. As it relates to mental health care and our judicial system, looking at that with them, our DAs, there's a lot of work that can be done from that level, and I hope to provide that bridge.
We have so much ground to cover and so much to talk about, and we will do that for the remainder of the hour. Our conversation with Krista Bakari, the City Council District 6 candidate, Republican candidate, our guest today on Charlotte Talks on WFAE. We're coming right back.
Support comes from WFAE listeners and Habitat Charlotte Region. Since 1983, Habitat Charlotte Region has partnered with more than 5,000 families through financial education, homeownership, and critical home repair. More information at habitatcharlotteregion.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Krista Beccari is our guest. She's the District 6 Republican candidate for Charlotte City Council. With early voting underway, the District 6 council seat has been held continuously by a Republican since 2005. If I've done the math right, that's a 20-year streak. But in the last two election cycles, a Democrat almost beat your husband, Tarek, twice by margins of 357 the first time and 314 votes the second time. That's just under 2% of the vote. Either that was an expression of dissatisfaction with the job or the approach that your husband was taking on council, or the makeup of the district is changing. Which do you think it was?
You never know. It could have been a mix. Tarek, didn't always say what people wanted to hear, but it was what in many times was necessary to be heard.
And isn't that what a politician, a leader should do? I mean, so many times you it would seem to me that all elected officials have this difficulty in straddling doing what the constituents want them to do. That's what they were elected to do, and what they believe in their heart of hearts is right.
Yes. I mean, and it's hard, at times, especially when you're dealing with like a rezoning and, no one wants, that development to be put in their backyard, right? It's the not my backyard principle and not in my backyard. I'm sorry. And Tarek, one thing that he was really great at was he was a great negotiator. He was great at bringing everyone to the table, but it's hard to always make everyone happy. That is, as a politician, it's almost impossible. So I would say that it's a mix, but I'll also say that, and you're not the only one who has said this, but my opponent is not running against Tarek Beccari. She's running against Krista Beccari. Yeah. And I have made my own relationships within the community. I've proven myself as a leader. Tarek was as a leader, was focused on the big picture in Charlotte often. And he will admit this, that, constituent services probably wasn't his strongest point. He was always made himself available when somebody asked for a meeting, but it wasn't his strongest. I plan on being very involved within the HOAs, within the community. I'm a member of SPAN. I think that's vitally important. So I am hoping that my experience and what I have done for the community will turn out for a win for me in November.
You are correct. In a democracy, we need to have many different points of view, and they need to be heard. And in Charlotte, we have settled into essentially one-party rule because all but two members of council are Democrats. Everybody on the county commission is a Democrat. The mayor is a Democrat. The district attorney identifies as a Democrat. And you've said that this is dangerous and that this does not represent our city. But doesn't it? Because Democrats are who voters are selecting.
Well, I think our biggest problem as Republicans in this city is we are not turning out the vote. Republicans need to show up and vote. And that is what they are showing up in presidential elections, but they are not showing up in our municipal elections. If they started showing up, we would start winning. We would have more people on council. Unaffiliated, because if we are looking at the unaffiliated voters, more Republicans are moving to unaffiliated because we are getting targeted the most by Democrats in our community, our businesses, our relationships, our livelihood is at stake. So I think if you're looking at the unaffiliated voters, you probably have more Republican-leaning unaffiliated voters in this city than not.
Perhaps, but in District 6, the seat you're running for, and Ed Driggs in District 7, that you those two districts have the highest concentration of people who identify as a Republican. Both are 28% Republican. Yeah. By contrast, the other districts in the city council run from 10 to 14% people in the electorate who identify as Republican. But the nature of the Republican Party has unquestionably changed in recent years. So what kind of a Republican are you? Are you a MAGA Republican, a more traditional Republican? How would you answer that?
I mean, I would consider myself, this is something that I stand strong on. You know, the Republican Party is the Republican Party. MAGA is a movement within the party.
But they own it lock, stock, and barrel.
Right now. But I stand firm on, we cannot fly a flag for one single leader in our party. We have got to look at the candidate, look at the person. There are a lot of voters in Charlotte who, you know, when I was working during the primary and working at the polls, they're screaming and pointing in my face about Donald Trump. I am not Donald Trump. I am Krista Bakari. I'm a fiscal conservative who believes that we need to be spending our tax dollars wisely and towards priorities, not pet projects. I am a law and order candidate. Yes, I absolutely believe that we should be putting public safety as our number one priority. We cannot continue to be shuffling money to private clubs instead of putting that towards the real needs of our city, which public safety is an issue. I'm also against government overreach. I'd like to cut a lot of the red tape that is involved in the zoning and permitting process in this city. So that's the type of Republican that Krista Bakari is.
So let's talk about some of those things. You say that you want to restore balance and accountability in City Hall. If you want to restore accountability at City Hall, that means you believe there is a lack of accountability at City Hall. So in what way?
I mean, if we look at what happened with the payout to the police chief, I mean, that whole process was a mess. And the fact that they pushed that through, when some of the council members wanted to change their vote and they weren't allowed to or told they were not able to do so, there's a problem there. There is a problem. And the fact that they continue to just say, okay, well, I guess we can't change our vote. You know, we are accountable to our taxpayers for how we are spending their dollars. And at over $300,000 payout without any merit was irresponsible.
I want to talk about that in a second. What about transparency, because reporters have consistently complained about the difficulty in getting that they face in getting public information that is legally public information from the city in a timely manner. In your opinion, is the city transparent?
No. I absolutely do not think it is. I think we have a major problem with that.
And who's driving that? Is that the council or is that city management?
I think that it's city management and that the council then follows suit. So, you know, we absolutely, there are times in our city right now where we need the mayor to step up and be a leader, and she's silent. And, you know, right now we just had 4 murders this past weekend. And I know that the CMPD put out this beautiful, you know, third quarter report that says crime is down 20%. You know what? When we have 4 murders in one weekend in our city, we need our leadership to step up. We need them to speak. We need them to be there, open, and talking to the public. She knows right now that people are scared in their community. You know, there's a 3-year-old, I believe, still fighting for their life. That would have been the 5th. death, murder in our city this weekend. We need strong leaders who are willing to stand up. And as leaders, it is not our job to paint a pretty picture. Our job is to admit where we are falling short and just to get to work to fix these problems. The PR aspect of our city leadership is hurting us in the end of the day.
And I do want to talk about that in a second, but I want to come back to this idea of lack of transparency. You've said that you want to shine a light on backroom deals and unethical conduct, and as a result of an accusation of immoral, unethical, and potentially illegal conduct on council by a member of council that was recently investigated, and they found the investigator found no examples of that, though they did say the city should be more transparent. And I know you're talking about what you just mentioned a few minutes ago about the deal with the police chief, but there have been a series of incidents involving employees that have been shrouded in secrecy, and we are told it has to be that way because they are personnel in issues. One was the settlement with CMPD Chief Johnny Jennings to stave off a lawsuit that he was only considering bringing as the result of actions taken by your husband, Tarek. We only know the amount of that settlement because Johnny Jennings told us the amount. The city didn't. The city council didn't. It's $305,000. And you have said that that secret payout was wrong, that it eliminated any shred of trust, and that it cost you the appointment to the District 6 seat in the interim, which Edwin Peacock is currently holding. I believe those are your words.
Well,
The expression on your face would say otherwise.
my words were that calling out the that whole process is what caught at the end of the day caused Mayor Vilayles to break the tie, I'm guessing. And that's what we need though in this city is we need leaders who are willing to say, hey, here's the truth. When I called that out, I called it out respectfully with facts. And that's okay. It's okay to do that as a leader in Charlotte, and that's what we need more of. And I was okay with losing. I knew that that was at risk, but I thought it was just too important to let people know in Charlotte what actually was going on and why it was not okay. Not that whole process was a mess.
Were you more opposed to this was not a lawsuit that had been filed. This was a potential lawsuit that may or may not have been filed. And the payout involved not only a payout of money to settle the argument, but also a retention bonus. And yet he's leaving. The chief is leaving at the, I think, the end of January, if I'm not mistaken. So that retention bonus was to tide him over from whenever it was, May or June, through the end of the year, which we're doing a lot of, and we'll talk about that in a second. So are you more opposed with the payout or with the way it was handled, or do you have your own questions about
All of
unethical
it, the
conduct?
entire thing. First of all, Johnny Jennings did not have a case. He had no case. He had no leg to stand on. He was already told that when he filed the ethics complaint. I think it was in February. So he had no leg to stand on. The mayor and the city attorney and Marcus Jones all knew that. They never revealed that to the council members. How do you make a decision using over $300,000 of taxpayer money without providing all of the information, pertinent information about his complaint, and that he was that those charges were already found to have zero merit.
That
So
was the
they failed. They failed not only our city and our taxpayers, but they failed their own colleagues on council. And that's concerning.
So that happened earlier in the year. The council also removed Patrick Baker as the city attorney. We've never been told why, and they recently decided to pay the acting city attorney more than $56,000 for what is essentially 2 days of work over a weekend between the time he leaves office on a Friday and the time the new city attorney takes over on a Monday. Should we know more about all of these things? Is the council, in your opinion, playing loose with money.
Absolutely. That is absurd to me. We are cutting budgets and not able to give our police officer raises, yet we can throw away that amount of money for one weekend. It is mind-boggling. And, you know, the whole process of him even getting into that position, there's questions around that. He wasn't even in the pool of candidates for that position to become our city attorney. Yet somehow here he is, and he's getting a payout. I mean, he has been acting as Vi Lyle's personal attorney. And I believe that his role on council is to be a line of defense for the citizens of Charlotte to make sure that our city leaders are doing what's right. What has happened is that he's become a line of defense for our council to try to tell the citizens of Charlotte that they are doing things right. There is something wrong with that.
Krista Bakari is our guest. She's the Republican candidate for Charlotte City Council District 6 this morning on Charlotte Talks on WFAE. You just mentioned that the city attorney is acting as Vi Lyle's personal attorney. That's your personal opinion. In Washington, Pam Bondi has been accused of acting as Donald Trump's personal attorney. If one or the other or both are true, something has shifted fundamentally in how we conduct the government's business throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. How do you stop it?
Well, the council needs to get tough and tell Marcus Jones that this can't continue. The citizens of Charlotte need to step up. One of the strongest things or the most necessary things in this city of Charlotte with this government and how we have been working or how they have been working is that they need pressure. They only respond to pressure. So the citizens of Charlotte need to wake up and call for, the next, we already have the next city attorney, and they need to be saying that it is not your job to protect the council members. That is not their job. And so the citizens of Charlotte need to stand up and start calling out what they're seeing.
I have 30 seconds left in this segment, and I know you may not know the answer to this question, but maybe you do because you've been around council for years now. Why do you suppose they reached that settlement with Johnny Jennings? Why do you suppose they agreed to pay this extra money for 2 days' work for the interim city attorney to hang on till the new one comes in? Why would they do that? Why?
I can't begin to know. I believe that possibly it's, it was a pressure campaign. I think it was a pressure campaign. And that's why we need another perspective and another voice in that room.
When we come back, we're going to talk about one of your other, probably your major concern, and that is public safety. You've already alluded to it. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the transit plan and other things on the table with Krista Bakari in a moment in Charlotte Talks.
Support comes from WFAE listeners and the Gambrill Center at Queens, presenting Earthwise, a public series exploring our connection to nature through science, film, art, literature, and lived stories, part of their Connected Campus program. More at gambrillcenter.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking to Republican candidate for Charlotte City Council in District 6, Krista Bakari. Her opponent, Kimberly Owens, was on this program last week. She's the Democrat. You can hear that conversation on our website or download it as a podcast. Before we talk about public safety, and that's one of your key concerns, you advocate ending some of the things we've been talking about, wasteful spending and demanding transparency for every tax dollar. And one of the planks in your platform is quote, no more blank checks. No more blank checks for pet projects and payoffs. Give me an example of what you're talking about.
The Excelsior Club is the most recent. Between city and county funds, we're looking at giving a privately owned club $3 million. $3 million. Unbelievable. That blows my mind.
Don't we do the same thing for the Hornets and the Panthers?
That comes from the hospitality and tourism, at least for the Panthers. But I will say that right now, what we're talking about in this city, that the Panthers is voted on, and that is down the road. But right now in our city, our leaders are talking about, oh, we need to do something about mental health. We need to, do something about public safety. But we're throwing $3 million at a privately owned club. Unacceptable. I mean, we have got to get back to basics. City leaders have got to start putting the money where their mouth is, and it isn't in a private club.
Is that the only example?
I mean, obviously the city attorney payout. We've got, the Johnny Jennings already. We already know about that. And I'm sure once I get on council, there's going to be another 50 other pet projects that I find out about that are going to upset me and going to upset the taxpayers. Once I get on council, I plan on working with Dave Bullock, our state auditor, to look at where our funds are going. We shouldn't be throwing hundreds of millions of dollars at our affordable housing and homeless problem and not really moving the needle. It's in our face now more than ever uptown. Where is that money going? I'm very interested to know. I think the taxpayers are interested to know, and I'm ready to get to work on that.
In their endorsement of your candidacy, The Observer described you as, quote, a fierce advocate for public safety, an issue on which strong leadership, they say, is needed. We've alluded to this. CMPD says crime is down in the city. They just came out with their third quarter crime figures, and they say that crime and homicides are down. But we did have that high profile murder on the Blue Line back in August, which got international headlines. And we do have the perception. And maybe it's reality, but perception is always reality, that the city is not safe. What's your perception?
I mean, Mike, it's hitting in my backyard, literally.
In District 6?
Yes, within a week, we had a stabbing and a murder right across from South Park Mall. And Eastland Mall didn't become Eastland Mall overnight. It slowly crept up, crime crept up. And I am not willing to sit by and say that's okay. It's hitting where we, District 6. Where we grocery shop and where we go
Well,
shopping at Target in
we don't know
Metropolitan.
much. We don't know much about that crime, and it happened as you. We talked about this last week. It happened in a what is described as a luxury condo in the parking deck, which you have to have a key fob to get into. But of course, we all know if you open the door, open the gate, it take you get two cars can go through before the thing closes, and it's likely to have been someone who knew the
Right.
victim.
I know that it could have been a domestic.
But anyway,
But we also have car break-ins all around, and our hospitality and tourism is going to suffer in South Park, in District 6, if we don't start addressing this. We need.
And you
Sorry,
have
go ahead.
said that we are going down the wrong path because of Democrats' lackadaisical approach to public safety. Explain
Right.
that.
I mean, we have ordinances that just aren't being enforced. We have crime without consequence in this community. We have a massive police shortage. A lot of that is due to morale being in the trash. I'm really looking forward to a new leader for CMPD, a new police chief, because we are suffering. CMPD is suffering. The
Talk
morale.
to me. Talk to me about morale. Is the morale, about if there is a low, if morale is low on the police department, is it
It
because
is.
of the chief? Is it because of the city council? Is it because they arrest somebody and then they are put on the street before the paperwork can be filed for the arrest? And is that because of a lackadaisical approach by Democrats on council, or is it the fact that we are the court system and the district attorney's office, and to a certain degree, the police department is not being funded adequately by the state, which is controlled by Republicans?
Absolutely. It's all of that. When you look at just the way our council operates, they tend to side with the offender and not look out for the citizens first. They tend to sacrifice the many for the few. And as a city, we cannot do that. We cannot allow, we have ordinances that, stop from aggressive panhandling and loitering, yet it's done day in and day out, right next to City Hall, right on top of City Hall. Where have our leaders been? Our downtown, our uptown is a direct reflection of our leadership. And if you go uptown right now, you have drugs being used in the open in Vermeer Bearden Park. That used to be a park where events were put on all the time. They had to move all of the events from there into the baseball stadium. That needs to be a wake-up call to our citizens. We have homeless taking up almost every bench uptown. Why are they allowed to do that? That is not a home. We have to figure out, we have to lead with empathy, but we can't allow them to take over every bench in uptown. And we have to stop the aggressive panhandling. As a woman, I have meetings uptown. I don't want to go uptown for a meeting anymore, because I know that when I park my car and from my car to my destination, I am going to be aggressively approached at least 3 times. And as a woman, that's threatening. I don't feel safe in uptown, and many people in my district do not as well. It's time to change that.
But in defense of the mayor, she's a big proponent of the several, I've forgotten how many now there have been, bond issues to maintain and increase the stock of affordable housing in the hundreds of millions of dollars range that taxpayers said yes to. And I know that you've already said you'd like to know where that money is going, because it doesn't seem to be moving the needle. And that's an issue that I've asked her about on this program several times. But what would you have us do? I mean, if people are homeless because they can't afford to live in Charlotte because the rents are so high, and we have all these corporate developers coming in and buying a lot of rental housing and keeping those prices high, when the cost of housing, buying a house, is out of reach for a lot of people, and interest rates are high, and salaries are not commensurate with what it costs to live in Charlotte. Therefore, people are living in their cars and they're living on the streets, and mental health resources are limited, to say the least, for some of these people who are on the street because they have mental challenges. What is the city to do?
Okay, you just unpacked a lot. I'm writing notes so I remember to hit on these. So first, let's talk about, something that we can do that doesn't cost a taxpayer a dollar from a city perspective is to cut the red tape that's involved with building homes. We add 30% of the cost to the end user on our zoning and permitting process. Let's start there. Our city leaders haven't even been willing to look at that. So we need to start there, right? Let's talk about keeping money in our citizens' pockets. I do agree we need to provide services. We need mental health services. And we need to be putting funds towards that. That's exactly why when I see $3 million going to the Excelsior Club, I'm saying, where we need to be putting that towards? Let's put that towards some mental health options.
But is that the job of the city or is that the job of the county? Social services are the job of Mecklenburg County.
Yes, 100% job of the county. But we are all in this together. And if we are going to blame the state of our mental health care system here in Charlotte, then we need to come to the table. That falls under public safety when our mental health patients are attacking people on trains. And DeCarlos Brown, that is just one of the, from what I'm hearing, there is at least 20 more DeCarlos Browns on our streets right now who are even worse than him.
But a lot of that is because of the magistrates. Wait a minute. A lot of that's because of the magistrate situation and what they have to do to let people out. As you know, DeCarlos Brown is who's the person who allegedly murdered Irina Zarudzka on the blue line back on August 22nd. His mother had him committed, and he was released because they couldn't keep him any longer. And magistrates have made decisions on who releases and who stays in jail based on prescriptions that have been handed down by the legislature.
You're saying the magistrates?
Yes.
So first of all, we need an oversight committee over the magistrate's office. It's a absolute mess. And that is one of the reasons why we're losing police officers. They are sick of doing their jobs day in and day out. And these criminals are just let back out on the streets. We have a juvenile crime problem in Charlotte that we have to look at and deal with head on.
Let me ask you this: we have a crime problem. The city says the police department, which you've said is demoralized, but they say that crime, their own statistics say that crime is down, and it's been down throughout the year, and it was down again in the third quarter, despite some of the things that have happened around us. And you say that when you go uptown is unrecognizable. Stores are closed. The homeless have taken over the streets. They're aggressively panhandling. It makes it uncomfortable just to walk from point A to point B. I'm not going to argue with any of that. But in their endorsement, The Observer mentioned that you are being troubled by, they mentioned being troubled by a recent Facebook post that you made that seemed to support sending the National Guard into Charlotte. Do you?
No, I absolutely do not. And I would like to set the record straight on that.
Okay.
I did not advocate to bring the National Guard to Charlotte. What I did do is applaud the FOP. Their voice is vitally important in our community. I wish they had a seat at more tables because they represent a large amount of officers in CMPD. And what I did say is that I applauded them for advocating for what they felt they needed. But let me make something clear. This National Guard hoopla here in Charlotte, it's a pressure campaign. And unfortunately, like I said earlier in the program, that is what is necessary to get our leaders to act these days. We are reactionary. They are a reactionary, I should say, council. We need to start being proactive. And that is what that campaign is about. It is not about actually bringing the National Guard here. It is about continuing.
But the Republicans in the legislature are not being proactive. If they were proactive, they would provide more money for education. They would provide more money for mental health services. They would provide more money for
they provided $17.5 million funding to the Katie Blessing Center that is currently under construction on the east side of Charlotte. To provide mental health care options for our youth. They did invest in that. I do believe that we need more funding for DAs. That is maybe where I might differ from my Republican friends in Raleigh. They are, more can be done. Let's put it that way.
Krista Bakari is our guest. She's the Republican candidate in Charlotte City Council District 6 on Charlotte Talks this morning. Let's talk quickly about transit, because that's a big thing on the ballot along with your race. When it comes to infrastructure, you say we need to ensure that any citywide transit plan serves all of Charlotte, not just the special interests. Is that how you feel about the 1% sales tax for transit plan? Does it serve only special interests? How would you vote? How are you voting?
So, two things can be true at the same time, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the absolute need for this investment in our community. 157 people moving here a day. We do not want to become the next Atlanta. We have to invest in this, right? But I am concerned. I do have some concerns about who will be put on this authority. So again, we have to be keeping a close eye on that, a magnifying glass. I know last night in council, They decided that each council member will give their recommendations for who falls best into each bucket that they're looking to fill for that authority. And so we need to keep a close eye on who they're choosing. And it will make or break this. So
I have less than a minute left, and I want to give you an opportunity to make your pitch to your constituents, your potential constituents out there, for why they should vote for you.
okay. Well, I have been a proven leader for District 6 for almost 8 years. I have loved serving this community, and right now we need transparency. We need another voice in the room. We haven't had a Republican woman on council for over 20 years. Republican women are known to get the job done. I am ready to stand up and lead for the district and for the city. Thank you.
Krista Beccari is the Republican council candidate for Charlotte City Council District 6. Early voting is underway. Her opponent, Kimberly Owens, was on this program last week, the Democrat, and you can hear that conversation either on our website or download it as a podcast. Krista Beccari, thank you for the hour.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great day.
Charlotte Talks is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Gabe Altieri. The senior producer is Sarah D'Elia. The producer is Chris Jones. For more information on Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or to subscribe to the Charlotte Talks podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at mazdaofsouthcharlotte.com.